Last time we looked at a message called The Year of Growth, and I presented what I would like to do over the next 7 or 8 months. I'm not exactly sure how long it will take, but a series of messages addressing those blocks that we all encounter. I say we all, our stories are unique, we don't encounter them the same way, but many of us will encounter different roadblocks that would keep us from growing. And this morning I want to talk about resolving bitterness. It is a key block that needs to be removed. I find it true in my life, and I think as I observe in others and I know people and understand a little bit about the way we work, that if this particular one is not taken care of, it's going to be difficult for any of the others to be resolved. This is a very primary one, but I'd like to revisit just a couple of things as we look at that year of growth, just to remember that God wants us to grow spiritually. The devil wants to destroy us. Growth comes when we remove or gain victory over spiritual blocks. It comes as we choose God's ways, and it comes through His Word. Frequently, these blocks are not something that we can overcome ourselves. One of the lies of the devil is, you can handle it. Don't embarrass yourself by telling other people. Just work harder. Typically doesn't work. Sometimes we make progress through sheer willpower. But true healing and removal of these blocks, and especially forgiveness and bitterness, that only comes with the help of the Lord. And so here are the items that we're going to look at. Bitterness, temper, values, rebellion, pride, hypocrisy, negative thoughts, worry and fear, and moral failure. How are you doing spiritually? You want to experience growth? We can. And my invitation, the Messiah's invitation, is to come to Him and to grow. It's growing through those blocks, not stopping. They're growing through them, going beyond them, that we grow. The passage you see on the screen is what I'm going to use as a springboard. There are selected scriptures, various scriptures I'm going to go to. This is where I would like to start. And I'd like for you all to read together with me. What do we have on the screen, please? All together. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. When I look at that verse, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but what I had available, this is the punctuation would say that these three verses are one sentence. And what I find interesting is that the first part of it, I don't always think of this, probably normally don't, but when you have a sentence structure, thoughts build on thoughts, and there's a progression of ideas or an idea that's being communicated. And it appears to be fairly apparent that that is what's happening here. Verse 14, there's several things he's admonishing us to do. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, the parentheses is, without which no one will see the Lord. And then he says, looking carefully, and there's three lests. It's a warning. Look carefully so that these three things don't happen to you. And we're going to focus on one of them. But the first one is lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. And remember, the preface is follow peace and holiness so we can see the Lord. Be diligent, look carefully. And I think about that. The looking carefully, this is something where either you're, I'm trying to think of good illustrations. You dropped something. Vincent and I were working at his house. He dropped a screw in the grass. He's down there digging through the tall grass looking for it. Hard to find it there. That's one, looking diligently. It's right in front of your nose. You're trying to look for the little details. There's other times when you're looking for something at a distance and you're really looking for, is that coming? Is that maybe in a wildlife situation where you're looking for something out there? You're looking diligently at a distance. And I think that this picture here is looking diligently, looking carefully, whether it's right in front of your nose or on the horizon. God wants us to be aware of these things, to be careful of it. So the first one is, don't fall short of the grace of God. The second one is the one we're going to focus on. Don't let any root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble and defiling many people. And then the last one is a warning against being fornicators or profane people like Esau. And that's, it wasn't the purpose of this morning, but I saw that last phrase. That is going to be sometime an interesting study. How does Esau fit in this picture and the profane person selling his birthright for a morsel of food? Interesting thought there. But coming back to the middle one of them, the root of bitterness, that's what I want to focus on this morning, how to resolve bitterness. And these are the four segments I want to look at this morning: define bitterness, the effects of bitterness, causes of bitterness, and the cure. I'd like to walk through those four segments this morning. We're beginning with bitterness, as I said, because it is a, as the Bible calls it, a root. I think it is a root in our in our lives that if, excuse me, if left unresolved, it will affect every other aspect of life. It will affect our relationship with God, with our families, with others. It affects our view of life, our view of the world, or the view we have of ourselves. It affects all of those things. We must resolve it in order to grow and to move forward spiritually. So as a definition, there's numerous ones we could pull from. Here's one. It's the natural and negative response to unpleasant circumstances, whether it's hatred, repulsion, anger, revenge. Bitterness is the kind of thing, it stays there. It festers. It doesn't go away on its own. The Princeton's Dictionary says it's a strong resentment or cynicism, a feeling of deep anger and ill will. So this bitterness is it's this negative response we have to life. And we all have those negative things that happen to us. We have to work through those. We are chafed. In fact, these are words that come from Strong's Dictionary. Chafed, discontented, great, and heavy. You'll find the word bitter used in several different places in Scripture, not particularly meaning this resentment, but it helps describe the arena in which this word is being used. Exodus 1:14 uses bitter to describe a very unpleasant circumstance that the Israelites were in. It says that Pharaoh made their lives bitter with hard bondage. It's very unpleasant. In Exodus 12:8, it talks about bitter herbs, a very unpleasant taste. In Exodus 15, they came to Marah and they encountered very bitter water. It wasn't good to drink. That's the arena of bitterness in our soul. When we harbor that, it's that unpleasant, acrid, repulsive thing that we feel within ourselves and doesn't go away. So what does bitterness do? If we look at the Hebrews 12 passage, we find these three things. It hinders or destroys relationships, it troubles you, and it defiles many. I'd like to unpack that just a little bit. First of all, going to the story of the prodigal son, Luke 15. I'm going to pull just a few words, not reading the story, but to recount for children or anyone who might not know. It's the story of a dad who gave half of his wealth to one son who left and spent it very unwisely. Came back broke. Dad accepted him. The son that stayed is angry. Here are the words. He was angry and would not go in. He would not go into that party that dad planned to receive the wayward son home. And this is what he said to his dad. These many years I served you, neither transgressed I at any time your commandments. And yet you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, you have killed for him the fatted calf, the calf saved for special announcements. And there are people who believe that the untold part of that story is that the bitter son killed his father. That's not recorded. Jesus didn't tell that, but that he was very angry with his dad. That's an example of bitterness. He was holding that against him. Hebrews tells us that we should look diligently, not letting that root of bitterness spring up and trouble us. I'd like to think about that a little. Everybody experiences difficulties in life. I don't think anybody would be here. I'd be waiting longer than John was if I asked for a show of hands of how many of you have had a perfect life, because life is imperfect. I'll bet somebody would say they're patient before they do that one. I don't know. We all have trouble. Life is imperfect. We experience hurts, misunderstandings, physical problems, trauma, abuse. I think I have it on the screen. No, I don't. All right, we'll back away from that. Those experiences, those difficult experiences, they create a filter through which we process life. We look at life through those things unless we resolve them. And that's the good news. We can get rid of that filter, at least in some degree. We have a choice what we do with those problems. One of my life lessons that you've heard me talk about is I can't control some things in life, but I am responsible for that which I can control. And that's true with this realm of hurt and pain that we all experience. I can't control the things that happen to me, but I control how I respond. We're going to continue to encounter problems in life. The way that we resolve past pain and hurt determines how we'll be able to process the ongoing, the new ones. Are we going to stack them up and our bitterness and hurt gets deeper, or do we resolve it? And we will come to that in the last segment. But the good news is that Jesus offers healing from that pain. Frank Reed describes the difference of what we're talking about, healing or not being healed. He describes it as being wounded or broken. Wounded people operate out of that place of pain and frequently continue to cause pain to other people. And they have their own seething bitterness going on in their heart. They're troubled in spirit and mind. And you'll see the indicators of bitterness, of anger, or of getting stuck on an issue, not being able to get their mind off of something, or feelings of ill will towards another person. That's the wounded person. The broken person acknowledges the impact of the pain, but is no longer controlled by it. So it troubles you. Bitterness will trouble you. And then it says it defiles many. It brings ruin to the bitter person, and from there it spreads. It spreads to others. God says it's unacceptable. He says that if you do not forgive, neither will your Father forgive. And that's really what we're talking about. Bitterness and forgiveness can often be understood because they're opposites. And it's one of the ways that we understand if bitterness is present or not is if there's a lack of forgiveness. If I still hold that grudge or that resentment, and I'm not able to release it. But this spreading to other people, it's an infection in the spirit. It increases rebellion, anger, and distrust. It's like a root of some plants. You'll see them occasionally. Chad's got a place on his property where you'll have underground roots and bamboo shoots will keep coming up way on away from it. It's a little bit like bitterness. It does that kind of thing. It goes underground, you can't always see it, and the next thing, bingo, it pops up over here and it's affecting another area, maybe another person. Bitterness is like a root. It's also like infection that spreads to new areas. It eats away at healthy tissue and ultimately will be fatal if not removed. One of the most vivid examples of that was quite a number of years ago. I had a sore develop on my ankle. It started out looking a little bit like a mosquito bite. I thought that's what it was, or maybe a jigger, as it would have been below my boot line. And that thing would not heal. And for as that sore increased, I finally decided that's not a normal bite. I think it was some kind of a poisonous spider bite, although I have no proof of that. But it became large enough that in order for me to wear my boot, I actually cut a hole in the side of it so that I could continue working. It was that painful and that irritating and a fairly significant size. Thankfully, it did heal. But that was maybe poison, you could say. That was not necessarily a regular infection, but that's the kind of thing that happens in our soul when something like this is left unresolved. What looks like just a little mosquito prick ends up being something much larger that is a decaying, it decays tissue, it eats away at what is healthy. Here's what I do have on the screen. It's an interesting verse. I'm not going to stand real hard on this one. But here again, the idea, maybe this is a progression of what happens to us. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Someone has said that this is the progression of anger or bitterness. You leave bitterness there, you get outbursts of anger. That goes to constant rage, which goes to public outbursts. And you see that the progression of where at first it's more hidden, it's just within. Eventually, it becomes public, it becomes known to other people, and the things we say of slander and malice or ill will, that just becomes the natural outworking of an unresolved bitter spirit. Causes of bitterness. Their circumstances or relational. They are typically rooted in pain, physical pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain, disappointment, irritation, disagreement, abuse, betrayal, broken relationship, injury, are just a few of the things that can cause bitterness and pain that we need to work through. Objects of bitterness can be directed towards others, towards life, towards self, towards God. And I find those two last ones to be, for some people, they can be very difficult because they are, and when you're dealing with anger or bitterness towards yourself for your own failure, that can be extremely frustrating. You don't want to be there, you are there, and you've got to deal with that. Or towards God, we can't control God. God, why did you allow this? Those are some of our objects of bitterness that we need to address and work through. So I'm going to go through this section very quickly. Just note this, in the story of Joseph, you think about the things that he could have been bitter about. He could have been bitter about many things that are recorded in his story, and yet he chose not to. Being sold by his brothers into slavery, being lied about by Potiphar's wife, unjustly jailed, being forgotten by the butler in jail, And yet when you look at that story, you go to the end of, be the end of Exodus, and you look at what Joseph said to his brothers. He said, you meant this for evil, but God had another plan. And the brothers were concerned that Joseph, who's now second in command in Egypt, was going to harm them. And he said, no, I won't do that. Even though Dad passed away, God had a plan, and he did not become bitter over those things. So how do we address these painful situations that we all experience? I have three things I'd like for us to look at. First of all, we're going to try to wrap it up with some very practical things about how to cure bitterness in our lives. The first one is to remember that God's justice is right and man's revenge is inadequate. Romans 12:19, you have these words in part, avenge not yourselves, vengeance is mine. God reserves that right for him. And if you look at that, this actually stems from that passage in Genesis 50, which I'm not going to take time to read. But Joseph essentially said, God's on the throne, not me. And that's where this concept comes from, that God's justice is right, man's revenge is inadequate. Joseph also said, God has a good purpose. It's beyond what man can see. And you know, God does care even when we can't tell it or we can't see it. It's part of the process of healing from the pains of life, is to accept that God was there, he cares about it, and he cares. He knows about it, he cares. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. And then the third thing from the story of Joseph is that he chose to return good for evil. And we have that here. Pain is healed by a forgiving spirit. Just like Joseph chose to forgive his brothers, we too can do that. Jesus gave us these words to pray when he was teaching us what's commonly called the Lord's Prayer. He said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgiveness is releasing the offender from judgment. Think about these three things on the screen. Human justice or revenge is so minuscule. We think we, naturally, carnally, we tend to think, that person hurt me, that situation hurt me, I have the right to have some kind of compensation for that pain. But human vengeance is minuscule next to the justice of God. God's ways are so much different than ours. God will repay when it's right to do so. And I'm going to say if it's right to do so. Maybe the object of our anger and bitterness becomes right with God. And they never get what we think would be justly given to them. And that's where we have to remember that evil comes as the result of fallen man and a broken world, not from God. God does care. And forgiveness comes by releasing the offender from that punishment, letting go of the justifiable pain and anger we feel, and allowing the Lord to replace the pain with healing. Practical steps. How do you get healing? What's the cure for bitterness? Being willing to let go of the pain. Some people live in pain so long that it becomes normal. It almost becomes a security, and it becomes comfortable to a poisoned heart. But it doesn't have to. Even if that becomes the norm, even if that becomes somewhat comfortable, be willing to let it go and realize that Jesus does care. He really does. That's not just a cliche. If you go to Matthew, you'll find the words, and we'll get to them in a little bit. Jesus says, come to me, my burden is light, my yoke is easy. Peter says, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. It's in a way that is deeper than we can realize sometimes. Jesus does care, and it's not just head knowledge. If you only know that, it's not going to be healing. Jesus wants you to know that in your heart, where you understand and feel on a heart level that he does care about you. One of the things I'd encourage you, if you struggle in that area, ask the Lord to give you a scripture or a word picture or a song or some illustration, something you can hang on to, that in those moments of not feeling like God cares, that you can go back to and pull that out. Yes, that is the picture, that's the word picture that I have that reminds me that Jesus cares. And then the last step here is simply to forgive everybody who has caused the hurt. That's every situation that causes pain must be resolved. If we don't resolve that, we'll continue to feel the pain. That is where bitterness begins to seed in frequently. We must be willing to let go of that. One of the ways that we can tell if there's bitterness present is by what comes out of our emotions and our hearts. Do we have anger or pain at the memory of a situation or person? If so, it's something we ought to explore. I was in a seminar one time where it was an older man that I respect highly, and he was talking about his story and how he had found a lot of healing, and all of a sudden he teared up in the middle of telling his story. And he goes, well, maybe I need to work on that one some more. And that pain was fresher than he expected it would be. He had experienced a lot of healing, but it's the kind of thing, when that comes up, simply acknowledge it and continue to take it to the Lord. I want to give you just a couple of verses here as we wind down. Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Mark 11:25, when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. How do you forgive from the heart? Is it just an intellectual exercise? No. Jesus says forgiveness must be from the heart. It's beyond simple words. It's forgiveness in our emotions. And yet we encounter things like, but I could never forgive that. It's too painful. Or I don't know how to do that. I don't like the feelings. How do I get rid of them? And even if it feels impossible to forgive, we're instructed with Christ's help to forgive in the same way that Christ forgave us. And I find this helpful in thinking about what is true forgiveness. What did Jesus do? He looked at sinful man and he said, or he knew because of his holiness, they deserve death. They deserve to pay that penalty. Christ forgave by paying the penalty for us. And I think it's a helpful picture of, when you think about how did Christ forgive? How do I forgive from the heart? I have somebody who wronged me. And so now, the way I process that in the way that Christ did is I say, okay, that was a hurtful thing that's there. But I choose to release them from their obligation to pay that penalty I release them from that, and I pay for that in my own emotions. If somebody steals my car, a car can be replaced. It could be purchased with money. If somebody hurts me, tells a lie about me, whatever that hurt may be, there's a sense in which that can never be undone. Spoken words can never be put back from where they came from. They're just there. Actions can never be undone. They're just there. And so this thing of forgiveness is they can't pay it back. That person who's offended you or me, that's a legitimate hurt for which they're responsible for, but there's a sense in which they can never pay it back. And so forgiveness has to happen on our side, where we choose to pay that pain and we release them from that obligation to pay. We don't hold that grudge against them. Our sin, the penalty of death, Christ paid our penalty. Others' offense towards us, the penalty is pain, and we pay for their penalty as a part of that forgiveness process. Justice is their penalty is to bear the same pain they caused us. Forgiveness is I choose to accept the pain they caused without right of retribution. I pay the penalty and release them from their penalty. Here's a prayer that you could use, or something like this. And you may have to do this numerous times until your heart finds freedom. Lord, I choose to forgive for what they've done to me, causing me to feel, you could describe how that feels. I am willing to pay for the emotional pain and consequences that they caused me, and I ask you, Lord Jesus, to take back the ground that I gave to the enemy through my bitterness, and I yield that ground to your control. That is the process by which we gain freedom from bitterness that can then allow us to grow close to others and to the Lord. Matthew 11, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I want to encourage you all, as you encounter the difficulties of life, to not let them fester. Don't let them be like that root of bitterness or that infection that will not only eat away at your soul, but affect the people around you. Let's come to a place of healing and allow the Lord to heal that pain. Walk in freedom and walk in joy. Let's pray.